We all know the legal world is complex and high pressured. There's no room for error. That's why judges and attorneys across Chicagoland have trusted the expert court reporters at McCorkle Litigation Services since 1948. McCorkle Litigation Services has accurately recorded every word from thousands of legal proceedings. McCorkle Litigation Services provides the legal community with peace of mind, transcribing testimony and depositions that can be used reliably by jurors, judges, and attorneys. For all your legal support needs, contact McCorkle Litigation Services online at McCorkleLitigation.com.
And joining us first is Ellie Hanning from CNN. You could look at Cross-Exam Weekly on CNN. And he's also a former federal prosecutor, and he's here with us in the Legal Face-Off.
Hey, Ellie, thanks for joining us. Lots of new evidence coming in regarding Trump's impeachment inquiry. It seems to be piling up every day. As a former federal prosecutor, you're, of course, used to triaging new evidence. What do you think is the two or three pieces of evidence that is most damning against the president right now?
Thanks for having me, first of all. So I would start any presentation of evidence with the call itself, the July 25th call. Now, we don't have audio of that call. We have what people call the summary transcript. But look, that's the president's own words to President Zelensky, and I think it's quite damning to Donald Trump. If you follow the sequence of the call, the President Trump, first of all, says, we've given you a lot of help, Ukraine. It's not reciprocal. And then the Ukrainian president sort of talks about the importance of the foreign aid that we've been sending. And then Trump says his famous line, I would like you to do us a favor, though, and then lays out, I'd like you to look into this CrowdStrike thing, this sort of theory about the DNC server and the Bidens. And then the president says, and I'll have Rudy Giuliani and my attorney general get in touch with you. I would start with that. I think the second piece of evidence I would use would be the texts. There was all these texts between Bill Taylor, Rudy Giuliani, Gordon Sondland, all these State Department and diplomatic insiders, plus Rudy, who's not an insider. But where you see them in real time, these people who are career diplomatic professionals worrying out loud in writing, wait a second, are we holding up military aid here in order to get investigations of political opponents? I think that's pretty damaging. And then I think the third layer would be the witness testimony. We've now seen testimony from over a dozen witnesses, but in particular, I think Bill Taylor and Alexander Vindman, who testified last week, paint a really sort of damaging picture of what was going on there.
So, Ali, President Trump is clearly trying to turn the tables on his accusers and blame Democrats, Hunter Biden, the witnesses, the whistleblower, pretty much anyone and everyone. What does this say about the state of mind of the president, and how do prosecutors look at efforts like these by a defendant?
Well, it's Donald Trump's sort of core theory that he took from his mentor, Roy Cohn, which is deny everything and counterattack, right? Admit nothing, deny everything, and launch counterattack. And we see him doing that here. Look, it's the kind of thing I dealt with as a prosecutor. The stronger the evidence you had on a defendant, the more likely they were to lash out at everybody and everything else. And it becomes a battle between distraction and focus. And as a prosecutor, I can't tell you how many times I said to a jury, keep focused on the evidence here. This case is not about the prosecution. It's not about the cops. It's not about some irrelevant issue. It's about this defendant, the charges against him, and the evidence. Now, that said, perhaps it is an effective way to at least keep his base intact, because this is not a criminal trial. This is not a jury of 12 neutral citizens who will make up their minds based on the strength of the evidence. Ultimately, all President Trump needs to do is hold intact the firewall of the Senate Republicans. And as long as he doesn't lose 20 of them, he will get through this. And so I think just giving them something else to point at, some distraction, some talking point, may give them enough so that they stay on board.
You mentioned Alexander Vindman's testimony last week, who was, you know, showed up in full dress military uniform and certainly visually had an impact. Of course, Trump, as Tina mentioned, and all of his surrogates came out and attacked him as being a never Trumper. Substantively, though, legally, does it really matter what Vindman says? I mean, does it matter that he heard the president talk on the phone with the Ukrainian president, as long as we have the transcript? What's the difference between the transcript and what Vindman says, aside from the aesthetics and the look of someone actually testifying about firsthand knowledge?
Yeah, it matters to an extent. So I agree with you that it does not matter how other people characterize what's being said on the phone call, except to the extent that they might be able to add flavor or explain what a certain phrase means. But by and large, I think we're putting too much emphasis on this witness said he thought it was legal. This witness said he thought it was illegal. Ultimately, it's not up to the witnesses to characterize or tell us whether the words that were said are legal or illegal or even impeachable or not impeachable. That said, Vindman did have other very relevant testimony. He was able to bring to life sort of what was going on behind the scenes, in particular the fact that this, people call it shadow foreign diplomacy, but foreign diplomacy is even giving it too much credit. Just this shadow group of Rudy and Sondland and Rick Perry were really given the reins on this very important issue, and the pros, the people like Bill Taylor and Vindman and the Ambassador Ivanovich, were pushed aside. And you have to ask, why was that done? Why were Rudy and Sondland put in charge? And when you look at all the evidence, all they wanted, they had one and only one policy goal, which is get Ukraine to investigate the Bidens and the DNC. That's it. They were not at all looking out for our United States foreign policy interests. They were not looking at the global scale. All they wanted was to get these, what they called the deliverables, in hand for the president. And that, I think, is relevant, and that's something that Vindman's testimony goes to.
So when do you think we will see articles of impeachment, and do you have any sense as to how many there will be?
So timing-wise, I think the House Democrats understand that they are really under time pressure here. The longer this drags out, the more it will seem political, the more the public's attention will sort of fade. I think best-case scenario right now, the House considers and votes on articles of impeachment before Christmas, and then the trial happens in January and February. Incidentally, that was almost the exact same time frame that we had in the Bill Clinton case in 98 into 99. So I think we will see an impeachment trial in the Senate in early 2020. What was the second part of your question? I'm sorry.
Do you have any prediction on how many there will be?
Oh, how many articles of impeachment? Yeah, so this is an important tactical decision that House Democrats need to make. I guess there's one school of thought of throw everything in there, Ukraine and Mueller and obstruction of justice and abuse of power. But I think there's another school of thought which I tend towards, which is keep it clean, keep it tight. So if I was advising Adam Schiff or Jerry Nadler or Nancy Pelosi or whoever, I would say, look, you bring one article of impeachment for abuse of power in relation to Ukraine. Maybe you bring separate articles of impeachment for some of the crimes that potentially were committed, bribery, extortion, receipt of foreign election aid, and then maybe you bring one more article for obstruction of Congress for the White House sort of stonewalling and telling all of its people to ignore the subpoenas. But anything beyond that, I think, gets too complex, both for your jury, meaning the Senate, and for the American public.
Thank you so much. These are definitely hot topics that we are going to be touching, especially since there are more and more dinners approaching. And if we want to find more information for you, it's on Lowenstein.com.
Lowenstein.com, CNN.com, Twitter, you name it.
And that is Lowenstein.com. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks very much.